Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's guest will be Tammy Cunnican of Rent a Ruminant. This episode is brought to you by Social Joey and Franchise Expo Nashville. Also, one quick note, Social Geek Radio is a proud supporter of the International Franchise Association's VetFran program. For nearly 30 years, VetFran has been the bridge between the franchise and veteran communities, educating veterans about entrepreneurship, encouraging franchisors to commit to veterans, and advocating for veteran franchisees. The program has nearly 600 corporate members and operates a national network of veteran franchisees supported by public and private sector partners. Learn more at vetfran.org. Okay, once a week on the Franchise Spotlight, we take a look at a new or unique franchise brand that has caught my eye. And today, we're talking goats. Tammy Dunnigan of Rent a Ruminant is here to explain. Tammy, welcome to Social Geek.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I saw the name of your brand, and the first thing I had to do was Google ruminant to figure out what the heck I was going to be talking about. So tell us what a ruminant is.
I do that on purpose, actually, because it makes people do exactly what you did, and then they never forget.
You got me.
Yeah. So a ruminant is any kind of an animal, basically, that chews its cud. So you've got, with ruminants, they're, you know, goats, cows, alpacas, llamas, giraffes, camels, deer, elk, all that. They're all considered a ruminant. And basically what that means is they have a multi-chambered stomach. So they process their food differently than a lot of other animals do.
Okay. And we are renting out these animals, specifically goats, right?
Correct.
For the purpose of...
Vegetation management. Basically, we specialize in doing properties, be it, you know, private properties, commercial, government, whatever, and ridding them of their problematic vegetation. So we don't tend to do, you know, we don't go in and do lawns and gardens. We're not, that's not our thing. Okay. What we do is, you know, when you've got, you know, kudzu coming at your ears, or the Himalayan blackberries like we have here in the Pacific Northwest, and lots of invasive species of plants, goats are a fantastic method for starting to eliminate the problem. And just to say right off the bat, the reason why is because one of the superpowers of goats is that they sterilize the seeds in their digestive process. So they do not repropagate what they eat. And so basically when you're dealing with a plant you want to get rid of, like an invasive species that relies on its seed bank to propagate, they're eliminating the seed bank in the soil because they're eating it before it gets there. And it, over time, the more you eliminate the seed bank, the more it's harder for that plant to regenerate.
Got it. So my next question was going to be, why not sheep? Because they're really nice, and it seems like that they would work well. But I'm guessing a sheep dip would not solve the problem.
Well, we do occasionally utilize a few sheep in our herds. That's why I called it Rent a Ruminant, because I wanted to be able to incorporate other ruminants on certain applications. So sheep are great. Goats are browsers. So that means they like to eat stuff that's not on the ground. They'll eat grass. They'll eat grass like crazy. Don't get me wrong, but they have a diverse palate. So they love to eat all kinds of different vegetation. Sheep are what are called grazers, and so their predominant food source are grasses. And so, you know, when you're dealing with going in and doing brush, sheep aren't a great application. If we were going in and doing predominantly a grassy area, like, you know, a field or something, and we didn't want, for example, the trees to get damaged, because goats can do a little damage to trees at times, we could put sheep in there if we wanted to. So, you know, we can add them to the mix if we choose.
But it's also just more fun having goats, right? I mean, your website has a lot of, you know, kind of fun images of goats in, you know, police gear and fire gear and that kind of thing. And it's just more fun to talk about. I assume that's a little bit of your brand, right? Is just having that sort of fun experience. And I would assume if you're talking about a corporate property, some people may be looking outside saying, hey, check out the goats.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So they're their own best advertising anytime so you have goats on, because people absolutely go bananas for goats. They just do.
Right.
And that's been,
are they sharing pictures on Instagram when you show up with the goats?
Oh yeah. we're social media phenomenons, kind of. I mean, because that's what people do nowadays. They go up and they see something and they want to get it on video, or right, you know, get pictures of it and right, selfies with the goats and things like that. So it's kind of a no-brainer when it comes to their ability to market themselves.
And some of your goats have turned into celebrities. I saw some video clips where they're appearing on TV shows and things.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We do quite a bit of that, actually. We've done commercials and, you know, some corporate spots and different, you know, we've been on Colbert Report, did a, you know, a section on us, people destroying America, goats are taking everybody's jobs. And it was hysterical. you should Google, Colbert goats, and you can watch that.
Awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, just, you know, all kinds of large media, Wall Street Journal, Newsweek, lots of different like farming land type of publications. Playboy magazine did a feature article online that was their front page article a couple of years ago.
Not bunnies, but goats.
That's right. That's right.
Play goats. So, you know, back to the business side, aside from a property owner or a corporate place that needs this, it sounds like it's a pretty perfect solution. It's also like the most eco-friendly thing I can think of, because you're absolutely not coming in with chemicals and you know things to you know burn out all of this vegetation. It's goats.
Correct. Yeah, they're about as eco-friendly as you can get. And they can go where people and machines can't go easily or safely. So you're not putting humans at risk by being on a hillside on a piece of equipment and having it roll down the hill. Or, you know, getting bitten by a snake when they're in snake country or whatever.
Wow,
you're basically taking away a lot of the risks to humans. And goats don't tend to have the same amount of risk. They can deal with those things as far as staying away from snakes, and they don't tend to roll down hills unless they want to. So, because they can do that for fun. But they're great. And they, you know, there's so many different applications for their use, which is why on the website, we've got the badges of the fire, you know, goats for fire prevention, for crime prevention, for, you know, schools, airports, all that kind of thing. Retention pond maintenance, just lots of different applications for them.
Okay. The retention pond maintenance, I get. Explain to me a little bit the crime prevention.
Well, we are the ones who kind of coined that term, because what happened fairly early on in my goat wrangling career was we started getting contacted by some of the cities to have the goats come in. City of Seattle was one of the first ones, and they were having issues with places where people were hiding in the bushes and doing drugs and things they shouldn't be doing that were in really quite public areas. And it was making people feel unsafe. What they did is they brought the goats in to clear the brush off, so the people couldn't hide in there and jump out or rob people, which was also happening. And they also, you know, they could see in, the police could monitor it way better, and they didn't have to chase people through blackberry vines. So that's kind of how that got started. And then it's morphed from that to having the police actually request the goats for certain areas because they were having problems there, and they know how great they are. So that's where it's kind of come into play. And there's also issues with a lot of homeless encampments that take hold in areas where they're not really supposed to be taking hold in.
Right,
so
right,
they'll have the goats clear the brush, so again, they can't kind of hide in those areas and put up their camps.
Right. And it actually makes sense in a densely populated area like a city like Seattle, because again, you wouldn't want to spray chemicals all over the place where people are going to be, you know, inhabiting that area. So very cool. Yeah. I never would have guessed that about the crime fighting goats, but there you go. That's terrific. Yep. So you're based in the Seattle area. You've got some other locations and you're franchising across the country now. Is that right?
That's correct.
Where are you currently located outside of Seattle?
Outside of Washington State, we have franchisee in Tennessee. We've got one down in Texas, and we've got one in Florida.
So this is a very different franchise than if you're going to, you know, say, get into the dry cleaning or convenience store business. This is something that I would assume people need some experience with working with animals.
Yes and no. A lot of people that are interested in the franchise or in getting into this business in general are interested because they want a complete lifestyle makeover. And they're tired of sitting behind a desk. They're tired of doing the same old thing. And they want to be outside, and they would love to work with animals. So I have had people that all they had ever had was cats or, you know, a dog, and we train them. You know, that's part of being a franchisee, is you're getting trained. So,
yeah.
You know, we train them and they catch on, and, you know, we have a great support network. So whenever they need us, they just give us a ring or a video chat, and we talk them through whatever they need to talk through. But there is a fairly steep learning curve for people that are in that boat. Other people that are already have animal experience, doesn't necessarily have to be goats, but if they've got livestock experience, it's it translates to some extent.
And how many goats would a typical franchisee need to own and take care of to have their business really get off the ground?
We require a 30 goat minimum to get started. They can have as many as they want. But most of them are kind of in the range of between 30 goats and 120 at this point.
Wow.
And they could get, you know, I mean, if they wanted to get into hundreds of goats, they could, but most of them don't choose that because of some other issues that make our franchise kind of unique, which is the whole humane and ethical treatment of the animals and the fact that we retire them when they can't work anymore. We don't send them to slaughter, to the auction house. We don't send them to where they're not going to be taken care of. So, that's a big thing about us. That's our number one priority is the animals.
That's very cool. How long does a goat stay with you before they literally go out to pasture?
it depends. Generally, if they're going to start having issues, besides maybe an injury, which is rare, it would be around the age of 10-ish, 9 or 10, is when they start to kind of have issues. And if it's just kind of an age-related issue, it's because their teeth get worn down and they can't chew their food properly anymore. And they basically would starve to death if they weren't on special feed.
Okay.
So, that's kind of what takes out a lot of ruminants in the wild as well, like deer. It's their teeth that are the problem when it comes to the end of their life, generally.
I got to tell you, I've learned more on this podcast than I have on any other podcast that I've done for a long, long time, because I'm a little out of my element here, and that's a really good thing. Before we go, tell me your plans in franchising. Are you going to maybe certain parts of the country that have more of a need than others, or what are you looking at over the next year or two?
Well, we're going wherever there's an interest and wherever people, I mean, we get most of our franchise inquiries generically. They just come through our website, or they've seen us on social media and just because of our brand and stuff. So, and we're the first legitimate and only goat rental franchise in the world.
I love the tagline.
Other people that are trying to do what we're doing are doing it as a licensure, not as a franchise. And we're the first ones to ever franchise the business. So we're in a unique position. Like you said earlier, it's you know, we'll go wherever there's somebody wants to do the business, but it's a unique enough business that, you know, it's not for everybody and it's a big change in lifestyle. So, it's not like saying, hey, I'm going to go to this, you know, have a franchise as a sandwich shop. Yeah. And I know it's the same, it's cookie cutter across the board. You know, with this, there's a lot more variables. It's not, you know, it's very different. So, people have to kind of get wrap their head around that. So the expansion is, you know, will grow as fast as it wants to grow. But as we've seen, it's like we weed out a lot of people because we do a really good job of explaining to them what the franchise looks like and what that means to their lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we don't want the wrong people doing the business.
Yep.
So, you know, but the more people are out there and hear about us, the more we get exposure and we get more inquiries and such. So of course it never grows as fast as you'd like it to.
Sure.
But it's, you know, it's growing as fast as it probably should be at this point. And the other thing is that people that are, you know, wanting to purchase a franchise, some, in some parts of the country, it's a very new concept using goats. They may have never seen it in their area. So you've got to kind of teach your potential clientele that not only is this a viable option, but that it's a preferable option. And they've got to wrap their head around that and go, oh, maybe I'll try something different than what I've been doing for the last 30 years with chemicals and mechanical. Yeah. So there's a bit of a learning curve, like just like there was for me when I started. And so, you know, it sometimes takes a little bit longer to get, you know, established because it's very new. It's a fledgling industry.
And I love that about franchising. We talk to a lot of different types of brands here every week, and there's always something new, and there's something out there for everybody who's you know, changing something in their life, or they're moving into a new phase of their life, and there's always something interesting that they could find themselves in that 5 years earlier they probably would have never guessed that this is what they were going to be doing.
Right? I know. It's very true. Well, you know, but we definitely have areas that we, you know, we want to target. And we, California, we desperately need people. And that's because of the wildfires.
Oh, you know, sure.
There's a lot of companies down there that do the business. Probably the most concentrated amount of goat rental companies are in California. But they mostly do super large stuff with hundreds to thousands of goats. Not many of them do smaller properties. And so there's a huge niche market for smaller properties that want to firewise to save their homes.
Sure. Lots of need in California. Very good. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with some contact information if anybody would like to get in touch with you. But first, one quick note about Franchise Expo Nashville. The big show is coming to Nashville March 20th and 21st at Music City Center. I'll be there along with my Social Joey crew, chatting with franchisors and industry pros. Thousands of entrepreneurs and future business owners from across the country will attend Franchise Expo Nashville, looking for unique franchise opportunities. Nashville is ranked within the top 10 large metros for job growth and population growth for the past 6 years. And it's the nation's fourth best city for starting a business. There's still room for franchisors to exhibit and meet the most qualified prospects from Nashville and the surrounding areas. You can check it out now at franchiseexpo.com. And if you'd like to attend for no charge, my friends at Social Joey have a promo code. Just put in the promo code Joey, A-O-E-Y, like a baby kangaroo. Not sure if a kangaroo's a ruminant or not, but we'll find out. But you can put that promo code Joey in there at franchiseexponashville.com for free registration. Okay, Tammy, thank you so much for joining today. Like I said, I think I've learned more today than I have in several months of interviewing lots of people on this podcast. So I really appreciate you taking the time. If our listeners have some more questions about your business and they want to learn a little bit more, where should we send them?
It's best to go to our website, which is www.rentaruminant, that's spelled RUMINANT.com. There's no hyphens in there. And just one last quick thing, fill out a contact form. Okay. When you get there. And the next thing is that we do have a veterans preference, and which is they get a 10% discount off of our franchise fee.
So we like
to promote veteran businesses. And I think it's a really good fit for a lot of veterans, just because of the whole mobility end of it and having to deploy. We deploy with goats is the difference.
you've got a whole new you've got a whole new platoon that you're bringing in.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I love to hear that. Thank you for your work with veterans. We definitely appreciate it here at Social Geek and with our friends at Vet France. So again, Tammy, thanks so much for joining today. And thanks to everyone out there for listening to Social Geek Radio. Copyright 2020, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.